The price to start a business is so low. I got to a point where I needed to start something to make real money. I needed to pay off my student loans. And all I needed to do was put a WordPress website up with a lead magnet. That's the cost of doing business these days, even less because you can just throw something up on Instagram. So the needle mover was sort of needing to start something to feed myself and then realizing the bar to start is not that high.
Entrepreneurs, we are going to Colombia today to sit down with Elliot Holland. He's got an incredible journey to share, and we made some time to start our days here on That Entrepreneur Show. So thank you for listening, and Elliot, thank you for joining the show.
So excited to be here and excited to do this pod. I'm glad.
Oh, I'm glad as well. Glad you were able to make some time, and I'm looking forward to all you have to offer to our audience. I saw the requests come through, checked out what he has to offer, and he certainly will not disappoint. If this is your first time with us, this is That Entrepreneur Show. We are at That Entrepreneur Show on all social media, on YouTube. We are under Vincent A. Lancey, and all my other socials are under that handle as well. Be sure to head there and click subscribe so you could check out some videos from this podcast series. But this is the number one podcast for small business owners and entrepreneurs. If you are one of those, or you have aspirations to become one, you are in the right place, and today's guest will surely not disappoint. So, Elliot, we're going to go back in time a little bit.
All
What
right.
led you to become an entrepreneur at first?
I did it kicking and screaming, if I'm honest. So my dad did similar financial services work that I do, but he passed away when I was younger and struggled in his later years entrepreneurially. So I wanted to go a conservative route. I went and got an engineering degree and then a fancy MBA and thought I'd be working for some fancy folks for the rest of my life. And then what ended up happening is like, the best job I had was in a city I hated. And Vincent, I was living in Atlanta before business school, and I landed a job in Boston. And for a lot of reasons, Boston was not for me. So I moved back to Atlanta. And the only way to get going in private equity in Atlanta at that time was to do it yourself. So I was kind of I forced into it to an extent.
Me born in New York, I'm certainly not a Boston person,
There
certainly
we
not a
go.
Red
So
Sox fan, certainly not a Patriots fan. Did you like anything about Boston though while you were there? Were there
oh,
that
plenty
stand
of
out?
things. So it's cool to be smart in Boston, even if
Okay.
aesthetically that might not be your stick, but they love a smart mind there. There's a lot of individual thinkers there. I'm not poo-pooing on everything. The city's beautiful, don't get me wrong. I've just come to learn that I think everybody has an intersection of their personality in a certain city, and you should strive to get there to a good city if you can. It matters a lot.
I think that's great advice right there. Everyone, location should play a factor, if you have the ability to, of course. But now, fast forward, you're working on a lot of great stuff. What are you working on right now?
So I help first-time business buyers acquire their first company without the fear of it being a lemon. So my main product is an audit-like product that business acquirers do before they buy a business. Why? Because private businesses have unaudited financials. Oftentimes they're just super messy and need to be straightened. But Vincent, sometimes they're malicious lies, and you got to do a mini audit to catch that. And then recently, I've launched a whole suite of services to help people from I am on the couch and think that buying a business is the right thing through I have a deal on the letter of intent through I closed it. We can sort of support you through that whole process.
What led you to creating that value to give back to our audience? Was it a life experience, or where did that inspiration come from?
Yeah, I worked for 4 years as an independent business buyer. Now they're called a bunch of things now, self-funded searcher, entrepreneurship through acquisition ETA. But I teamed up with the older business partner that had been doing deals for a long time. And I worked for about 4 years and we did deals into his companies, but I never got a platform deal done myself. And so I spun out of that company to do it by myself to see if I could get further. And the deal I was working on blew up. And both, financially, emotionally, mental health-wise, I was shattered. And the markets weren't as active in this as they are now. So I took a year off and then I said I had these unique skills around buying companies. I don't want to go get a job. What can I do? And I said, well, I've got this fancy MBA, all this private equity experience. Other folks are coming in with marketing experience, operations experience, just not the same financial experience. They're going to need somebody to help them get deals done. Why don't I do that? And so it really was a transformational experience that put me there. And I'm going to double click on it only because I think sometimes the pain of failure pushes you to that next level up, right?
You made a lot of great points there. And as I'm typing up these notes for when we go live, you had the experience with private equity. You had other people who brought their experience through marketing. So you were supplementing each other, if I understood that correctly, becoming a great team.
Yeah, that's true. And so one of the biggest things I've had to do in this business, now I have very unique services that only a small fraction of people need, like a real niche thing. Most of my competitors sell with like steak dinners and conferences, and I knew that to be efficient, I needed to learn digital marketing to be able to sell online. And so a big piece of my sort of third education, engineering being the first, business school being the second, third is digital marketing to get the message out to the people who need to hear it so I can efficiently run the business.
I love that, making yourself well-rounded. And that certainly, I don't think, has hurt you there. What's your favorite part about the business you're in now, though? I mean, it seems like there's a lot of exciting things that could happen on a day-to-day basis. And like many entrepreneurs, I don't think every one of your days is the same thing every day.
Not at all. So the people I work with are all making transformational million-dollar decisions on the tail end of my work. So I work on people that buy million-dollar deals, typically married with kids.
Right.
And if they don't get it right, they're gonna put a really heavy damper on their lives going forward. When they get it right, it takes people from six-figure opportunity to seven and eight-figure opportunity. And that's just transformational. And being able to do that every day, it almost feels like a delivering a baby or something. Because it's so transformational and the people sort of never forget who you are.
I love that, leaving an impact on others, being impressionable and being so kind to help others in that way. I've learned that I want to do continued business or more business with someone who I enjoy, who's a good person, who has value to bring to the table, opposed to I've come across individuals who didn't seem like the nicest person, and I don't know if I would refer someone to them even though they have a great product. Could you agree with that?
Totally agree. And a lot of my business now is word of mouth. And it's also people telling my story in different ways than I can even tell it. So I totally agree with that. And also, when you're making decisions of this magnitude and even smaller, if there's integrity there or trust, and you believe the person's going to be a solid person, it's so much easier to do business with them.
Absolutely, doing people with good people, doing business with good people makes the world go round. Excuse me, slurring my words here. Everyone, I've had such a great time so far in this episode, but I got to take you back to some of my original questions here. This is something that I asked, I think, every guest for the first 3 years, and I changed it up a little bit, but I've got some feedback to bring it back. If you could sit down, Elliot, with one entrepreneur, dead or alive throughout history, who would you choose to pick their brain?
Reginald Lewis.
Let's
He was
talk
the
about
first
it.
black man to buy a $1 billion business in the 80s. And he did it all entrepreneurially through his own merits in a very difficult economic environment for African Americans. And he wrote a book about it. Now, the title is controversial, but I
What's
think
the
people
title?
understand it.
What's the
Why should
title?
white guys have all the fun?
And what was your takeaways from the book?
Ooh. So I don't know if the podcast is long enough, but it taught about getting past adversity again and again and again and putting a plan together to go after a crazy lofty goal like a $1 billion business and not being scared to do it, having the confidence to know you can do it, but the prudence to think through it and do it in a way that doesn't get you in trouble.
I love that. Well, everyone out there, add that book to the queue if it sounds like it's for you. We've talked a lot about we've talked about a lot of great stuff here today. What is something else we should know about your business, Elliot? Do you serve individuals only in one location? Are you able to serve online, or describe that for us?
Sure. So I actually have clients on four continents. So I can serve
Wow.
clients really anywhere English is spoken. And so I have clients all across the United States, Canada, and Mexico. I have clients in Europe, particularly the Netherlands. I have clients in Africa, particularly Northern Africa. And I'm working with a client in Australia. Hopefully, we'll get signed up so I can work with folks wherever English is spoken.
I love that. Trying to close, and I'm putting these in the show notes because I think that can serve as inspiration to everyone out there listening on. If you're looking to build an international brand, he might be able to get you there. Where is your favorite place to do business? And now you mentioned you do business all over the world. Do you have any good stories or takeaways you could share with us from one of these locations?
Yeah, I'm going to twist this a little bit. I
All
think
right.
entrepreneurs should find locations that also relax them because the stress of entrepreneurship can get high quickly. And when you're building a business, there's no like pause button. Like, hey, clients, let me take a week off so I can get my head in shape. So for me, Coronado Island outside of San Diego is my go-to place when I really need to clear my head. And you can kind of do the business, look at the water. It just clears me.
I love that. Now, I want to take you back a little bit to something you said earlier. I'm someone who also had the MBA and thought I would be getting that corner office with the finance title, and that was the thought I thought I wanted, but things changed differently. What was a big needle mover, I guess you could say, to finally get that itty bitty committee out of your head and start chasing your dreams, just for anyone out there who might be in that same shoes?
The price to start a business is so low. I got to a point where I needed to start something to make real money. I needed to pay off my student loans. And all I needed to do was put a WordPress website up with a lead magnet. That's the cost of doing business these days, even less because you can just throw something up on Instagram. So the needle mover was sort of needing to start something to feed myself and then realizing the bar to start is not that high.
I love that. And it's all about believing in yourself. If you have the passion to do it, you'll be willing to put in the extra work. We've talked about a lot today. I've had such a great time, Elliot. Give our audience a solid last word.
I would just say get after it. And that might sound very generic, but I think for those that are on the fence about starting a company or growing their company or taking their company to the next level, the advice I would give them would just get after it. Reason being, once you start, step two, three, and four become so much easier. Once you start, people will help you. Once you start, your customers and leads will give you information. So just get after it.
And it's much easier said than done, but if you put your mind to it, you'll get out there. Elliot, where can we find you online?
You can find me on Twitter, which is my main channel, Elliot E. Holland. I'm called the King of QOE on Twitter. You can find me at Guardian Due Diligence on YouTube. And then my website is Guardian Due Diligence. And if you spell it anywhere close, the SEO will get you to the right place.
All right. Thanks for sharing that. And thanks again for taking some time, Elliot, to hop on the pod. Everyone out there, we appreciate you tuning in each week. Be sure to check us out on social media at That Entrepreneur Show. I am at Vincent A. Lancey on all social media and YouTube. With that, we are signing off today, all the way from Columbia to Florida. Elliot, thank you so much.
Thanks for having me.